It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 705. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype, and the name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial, and you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. I have a jam-packed show. I have a ton of links. I'm going to talk about Windows 10 update issues, Exchange 2010 extended life, some Windows Defender surprises that my son alerted me to, but we're going to spend time on PC Builder help sites. I have stories from the trenches. I have a stack of email. So before we get started, I had a great time at TechCon Unplugged last week. I enjoyed meeting all of you. Let's get started. I need some help on a recommendation with the Samsung Galaxy Note 3. A client replaced that with a Pixel 3, and he wants to get all the text messages off. Now, I found one program. I think it's by Samsung. What do you do if you want to pull all of your text messages and move them to a PC? What is the best program? Let me know, because I'm going to have to do this fairly in the next couple days, fairly quickly. I could use some help with that. That's why I wanted to get that right up front in the beginning of the show. Stories from the trenches. Tuesday, received a call from my biggest client. They have these big manufacturing machines and they needed maintenance, and a tech was coming out to spend a couple days. Now, I can't imagine if they need a 32-bit operating system to run their utilities and they don't have a laptop with the software on it. This was crazy. I had to quickly come up with a system here. I'm so glad I have laying around, and I had to have a 9-pin port for a serial. I had to find the 32-bit Windows XP, and I do have an original Dell SP3 disk. I had an older Optiplex that was a Core 2 Duo, and I was able to quickly make sure it had, 4 gigs of RAM, threw an SSD in there, and got XP installed, made sure everything was working. It was tough getting the drivers, because you first have to get that Ethernet driver. So once I got the Ethernet driver, I was then able to download and unzip the CAB file that controls all the drivers. And then I was able to manually, from Device Manager, be able to add all the drivers. It was tough remembering where everything was. It had been so long since I worked on XP, and got it all done, and my son delivered it, and they were able to do a really good job in getting everything working and getting the software. I had to find a 32-bit version of Firefox because they needed someone to remote in. So I didn't like having XP where it's not as secure, but we had to get it on the internet and had to get Firefox so he could download an older version of TeamViewer. And then once he got that running, they were able to connect, get everything installed that needed to be run. And now it's not on the internet, and it's just doing the maintenance and the things that it needs to do for this hardware. But I'm shocked that if they had all these requirements, why didn't they let us know, let my client know? And B, really, they're going to dispatch a tech that doesn't have the proper computer to be able to do the work. Could have had an older laptop with everything hooked up that had a 9-pin serial. Anyway, now they have a dedicated system that I was able to sell them an old computer. And see, you can't get away from XP. Tried, can't do it. Interesting article. Microsoft has extended the life of Exchange Server 2010 till next October. Very interesting. They were going to pull the plug on that in January, and I'm wondering how many corporations still have Exchange Server 2010. How many hosted Exchange vendors have Exchange 2010? And so I was very, very shocked to see that they were going to do it. But then again, you're like, you know, money talks. And if enough high-powered clients of Microsoft, you know, beat them up, that there wasn't enough time for them to perform an upgrade because of how many people they have or users. I know ShareWeb was, they were on top of it. This past 6 months, they've been actively moving all of the clients that I had originally that was on Exchange Server 2010, moving them to Exchange 2016 and 2019. So just an FYI, 2010, its life has been extended. So that means it'll expire the same time Office 2010 expires. So just keep that in mind if you're working with anybody with Exchange 2010. Windows Defender has built-in ransomware. And I remember seeing this before, but I didn't realize it, that it comes turned off in the build 1903. So I recommend, and you should pass this on, I think you have to activate OneDrive. I mean, I already have OneDrive, and I already have my account set because I use it. So the ransomware, if you have a product that is already doing ransomware, then it's grayed out. If you have Malwarebytes, or if you have Crypto Prevent, or if you have other things that's already doing it, you don't turn it on. But turn it on if you don't have any other protection. And is it going to block everything? No. The only answer for ransomware is knowing you have a reliable and good backup. That is the only way. Now, we can put everything we want to try to block it, but having good backups is the only way. Just wanted to pass that on. Now, I always complain about Windows 10 updates, and they're just killing us, and they're continuing to kill us. I'm going to have three articles, one from Forbes: New Windows 10 1903 update breaking network adapters for some. And they have a fix and suggestions. So a very good article. Then we have Windows 10 1903 problems. Now Microsoft reverts change that muffled audio. Now remember, a few weeks ago, we had the Windows 10 problem with the update to Cortana taking over and doing the CPU. That was terrible. All of the Windows 10 updates now are just breaking so many things. I used to get mad at that, and now I'm looking at it as reoccurring revenue. We're going to make more money. You support Windows 10, Microsoft is just going to help us make more money. And I have to take a different attitude. Instead of being upset at them, what I will do is when we're at the client, we blame Microsoft. They are causing the problem. It's not our fault, but that's why you have us to come by and fix it. So there'll be more work. Just make sure you have really good backups in case Microsoft really bricks a system. If they're retainer clients, they're being backed up. If they're not, well, they had the opportunity. I would have had the discussion with them, and now we just got to roll with it and do what we can. Continuing to still get a lot more hardware orders. Yesterday, someone just ordered two systems. Tomorrow, I have a client stopping by for a new laptop I had to get. I had to order another laptop for a client. My son delivered another computer today, an OptiPlex refurb. I have never seen an uptick with so much hardware sales I can't believe it, just how many I've been seeing. So I know Carrie jokingly asked in the last show that was recorded on Saturday night, where we have four podcasters got together, and he jokingly asked, how are you seeing PCs? Because the PC was supposedly dead. It's not dead. It's not even coming close to dead, at least from my eyes as an IT consultant. I have a section of links that you are going to absolutely want to have if you know anyone building a computer or you are building a computer. This is the ultimate set of links and guides for everything you need. The first one is the famous PC part picker. This is how you can compile a build, and it will tell you the places to go to buy the best price. It'll let you know the power requirements. It'll give you a great estimate for price. That is like the first go-to site. And I got all of these from the last issue of Maximum PC. The next one is Logical Increments. Lets you calculate and take a look at the next logical progression for increasing performance, what it will cost, what you would change. The next one, builds.gg, a community for PC builders and modders to show your build to the world, find inspiration for your next rig, and compete in various contests to win awesome prizes. Really, what a great way to get examples of what you're looking to build. The next one, Product Chart, a new way to discover products. Each chart gives you an easy to grasp overview of what is available on the market and provides the tools to find the product that is perfect for you. So smartphones, laptops, monitors, solid-state drives, flash drives, 3D printers. User Benchmark is the next site, and that's literally www.userbenchmark.com. This is where you can put all of the products of what you're looking at to the test to actually check and get user benchmarks and take a look at the reported ones so you can see the benchmarks of people building with the components that you're thinking about. The last one in our builder group of links is a bottleneck calculator. Is it the CPU or the GPU? And this is a really interesting question for bottlenecks. I have a client that I've just quoted a very high-end precision workstation from Dell. Minimum cores that he wanted in the CPU, we got a Xeon 20 core. I have a very high-end graphics card. But the reason why the cores for the CPU is that is the bottleneck for the engineering program that he's using for mapping the lights within parking lots and with when they're a lighting company. And every time they make a change, there is a big calculation and big, you know, it's changing the whole drawing, and it just sucks the life out of the computer, and it takes on as many cores as it can. So we're trying to have a nice, beefy, high-end workstation for the lead engineer so he can get all these designs out in a reasonable time and can make changes and not have to wait all day for a change to happen. If you are buying a computer, thinking of building your own computer, you know someone that is, this group of sites is the perfect answer to review everything before you make your final decision on the components that you're thinking of adding. Because maybe you can't afford that real high-end graphics card, but you want the best bang for the buck at a budget level that you want to spend. Let's say, what is the best video card I can get for $300? Or maybe less, maybe more. But this is where you can really deep dive the details. I have a few emails, so let's get right into them. This is from Mike. I have a question about QuickBooks. My client currently has QuickBooks running on a file server in his office. He is looking to move that into the cloud. It looks like there are two options, QuickBooks Online and QuickBooks Hosting. QuickBooks Online looks like it is an Intuit offering. It is. From what I've read, it can be slower. It depends on how you're using it and your internet connection, and may not support all of the QuickBooks desktop features, and its interface is not the same as the desktop version, so there may be a learning curve for users. I'm going to pause on that one and make a comment here before I continue. It has less features, and here's where I find two camps. There are CPAs and bookkeepers that insist upon QuickBooks desktop and don't even like QuickBooks Online. Then there are the group of CPAs that love QuickBooks Online and hope that every client will go there. Now, the Hostit, which we're going to get into here, is not Intuit. It is a third party that supported it. So it's just taking the desktop and moving it straight into the cloud as a Hostit workstation. He continues, QuickBooks Hosting seems like the better choice. You acquire a hosting provider, sign up a Windows or Windows Server instance, install your version of desktop QuickBooks, transfer over the company file, and you're good to go. Have you had experience with QuickBooks Hosting? And if so, what providers would you recommend? I have gotten quotes for QuickBooks Hosting for a couple clients that did not pull the trigger. I have nobody on QuickBooks Hosted. I do have several clients that got used to the QuickBooks Online. I know SureWeb does QuickBooks Hosting, but they are not on Intuit's list of authorized QuickBooks Hosting providers. I didn't even know that, and I'm a SureWeb user for Hosted Exchange. I would want a demo of that. Maybe contact SureWeb and say, I want to see a demo of your hosting, and maybe run that by Intuit tech support. SureWeb's big enough where maybe they're just not listed because they're not paying QuickBooks they're due to get listed. I'm not sure how that all works, but if they're advertising it, boy, I'd be doubtful that there'd be a big issues if they're selling it, and maybe see if you can work out a trial and try to get it tested and working and see how your client likes it. He finishes, as always, appreciate the show. Keep it up. You're the only one besides Security Now that hasn't pod faded. Well, thank you, Mike. I really appreciate that. I would look into Online and see if they can adjust and live with QuickBooks Online. It's a lot cheaper, and maybe the features that they're so used to, they can live without and use it. It really, you got to see a deep down comparison of QuickBooks Online to QuickBooks Desktop. If anybody has a link for something like that, I'll put it in the show notes and I'll share it. But I would Google QuickBooks Online versus QuickBooks Desktop and see if you can nail down the exact features to see if your client is using them or not. All right, this is from Bill. Have not been in touch for a while, but love the show for many years. First, below on your contact page is about healthcare, not you. And the phone number, I don't use that phone number anymore from the Google Voice number. That was the, I don't even want to repeat it, but we don't use that number. So on the contact page, I actually have to eliminate that phone number. For the moving of accounts that you asked for help on, you might check NERSOFT. I use NERSOFT for a lot of utilities. On migrating email for clients, I use this trick. Get a free 30-day trial account with Spam Hero. Even if you have to pay for an extra month, it is really cheap and a very good service. Point it at your current Exchange server. Now point the MX records at it. No service interruption. Do the migration. When it is complete, point Spam Hero at the new location. Instant cutover. No waiting and guessing for DNS propagation. It's a nice trick here. When done and happy, move the MX records to your new mail host. No service interruption. That is awesome. That is a great, great tip. On moving to the cloud, we have hundreds of clients on 365 Direct with Microsoft. Very quick response to any issues. Just go in the tenant and request a call. I get one usually in 10 minutes, and they actually have a brain. For migration to 365, the Microsoft tool so far has worked great as long as the Microsoft Exchange email test program is happy. I let it run every night until all mailboxes are done. No need to export and import. If you want easier, the Migration Wiz program from here is awesome, and I have a site. It will even take care of the Outlook change for new profile on computers. You can sign up as a dealer and keep track of your migrations in the site. It can solve some problems that may give Microsoft a hassle, but generally, Microsoft has been fine, but not as easy as this puppy, especially since it can handle the Outlook cutover. In some cases, it pays for itself in the saved labor. And this is www.bittitan.com. Bill, thank you so much for that. This is from Steve. Strange Yahoo behavior. Mike, I'm a tech like you, and for as many years, but I came across a client email problem a few months back that I've never seen in the past, nor have been able to fix. Maybe you and your crew can help. We use Frontier for DSL service in our Northern California town, and they provide an email account with their service. Frontier subbed out their email service to Yahoo a dozen years ago, but Frontier still provides limited support when we have an email issue, and there are many. My client has a Frontier email account and the domain of @frontiernet.net several months back. He got his account hacked, and after changing the password, he still uses it. About a month after the hack, messages sent to him took a strange turn. Any new messages sent to that account automatically go into his archive folder, which is an auto-created folder within his email folders. These messages never make it into his inbox, none of them. He can release these messages from the archive folder back into his inbox, which he does several times a day so he can keep using MS Outlook 365. And he never loses any messages. All messages sent to him always come in, but they all go into the archive folder. That has to be a setting somewhere. I have, of course, checked for any Yahoo rules that might be doing this move and looked everywhere else that I can think of. Frontier support recommends using a different email account after they deleted and recreated this account with no fix. Any ideas? I have none. But when you're dealing with Yahoo, anything can happen. Remember the stories that I explained where the only way to get a password if you had no way to verify it was to file a claim at the Better Business Bureau. I'm not making that up. And that's how Yahoo responds. So nothing would surprise me. You're not going to like my answer. He's got to migrate to Gmail. Migrate away from this mess. Anybody with Yahoo or an ISP account or AOL, get away from it. Move away. Gmail's free. Go get a Gmail account. Life becomes more secure and simpler, and it works. That's my recommendation. But if you can't find any kind of a rule, if anybody is familiar with this and you know something that's maybe hidden that we can share, please let me know. I really appreciate it. This is a question about iMazing. Hello, Mike. I really enjoy your show. I've listened to every single one. My company uses iPhones for servicing customers and other company-related things. It contains proprietary software. I want to migrate messages from my iPhone 6S work phone to my iPhone 8 work phone I just received as an upgrade. I'm instructed not to restore from a backup or as new phone, or it will lose company configurations. However, this means I cannot restore my messages. I remember one of your shows, which you spoke of iMazing. I downloaded the free version to check it out. I only want to transfer messages. But if I choose data, customized messages only, I can't remove the check marks from accounts. The data set must be restored. So I don't know what all that means. I want to only transfer messages, but not have something affect the company configuration. I don't understand. You should, even if you're going to, why not just back up everything and then just pull the messages? That's what I've done for phones. You're not changing anything. So just pick the option to back up everything. So what? So you're taking up some extra data and you're getting some more things that you want. That's okay. Then just delete it. But you're going to get your text messages. I also cannot restore my camera roll to its original state. Well, you're not supposed to restore. They told you not to. You don't want to restore. Just use iMazing in one direction. Take everything from your 6S and put it onto your computer. And then just cherry pick what you want to keep and not. That's my recommendation. So thanks for your help. I'm listening. Oscar, I really appreciate it. Thank you for the email. I know my simplistic answer is not what you're looking for, but just copy everything. It's not going to make a change to your phone. I've done this all the time with pulling stuff from, as a matter of fact, one of my clients, I think I told the story where they just wanted the music. Now that I was able to isolate and we were able to pull all of the music and then get the new phone and then send all the music back. But you want to restore just the text messages, and that might be a problem if you can't isolate the text to do the restore. It finally sunk in what you're trying to do, and it wants to modify the new phone. So you may need tech support. Why don't you buy it? It's cheap enough, and then ask them, how do I just restore messages without making any change to the phone? So see if that allows. Now, you can't do a message unless it creates the account. So it would make sense that you need all those accounts created for all the people that messaged you, and especially if you don't have them. So now my basic question is, well, how are your contacts and calendar and everything syncing? Didn't that come through on the migration to the new phone? I would assume you're using some kind of a hosted exchange for the business and some kind of active sync or exchange sync in order for that to work to go to the new phone, because I'm sure they don't want you typing in all your contacts again and everything. How do you get your email? So how are you connecting? And I would absolutely reach out to iMazing for tech support. That is it for tonight's show. If you want to support the Mike Tech Show, the best way to do that is use our Amazon link that I share with Carrie Holzman. It helps support Tech Vets, the Mike Tech Show, and Carrie Holzman's videos. It is a great way to help us. Click on that link. Add the items to your cart. And then when you check out, we will get a small commission and your price stays the same. We really appreciate that. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro, can't live without it. And two other things I haven't mentioned in a while, and I apologize, especially to Matt Rodella, who I was able to meet up with over the weekend. And he has Tech Site Builder at TechSiteBuilder.com. And he hosts my MHSConsulting.net. That is a great place if you need an easy-to-launch tech site. That's the way to do it. TechSiteBuilder.com. Love it. You're going to have it already search engine optimized, everything you need for a tech site. And it's not just even the search engine optimization. It's made for computer businesses. And you can make your site truly unique, and it's fully hosted, and it's very inexpensive. TechSiteBuilder.com. InstantHouseCall.com. Download the free trial. Use the code MikeTechShow. That's it. Hope to see everybody next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.